Norm, would you please stand? And Norm Reich. And Robin Hayhurst, is she here? Yes, thank you. And is Steve Page here? Oh, I thought he was. I thought I saw him. Those Citizens for Clean Water is dedicated to clean water, regulatory compliance, and the protection of property rights. When it comes to the vote, we're Switzerland right now. The group we started nearly 2 years ago with the launch of the Water Board's enforcement actions against individual properties. This action was unprecedented in the state, and those 50 who were selected randomly, their lives have been marked with stress and suffering for the last 2 years. We are formed now as a 501c3 nonprofit, and enforcement against individuals has not stopped. All of the prohibition zone is blanketed with notices of violation. The orders are tied to the 218 vote and the cessation of discharges by 2011. The appeal, some of you have heard about, is a defensive appeal against the orders that were issued to the 46 properties and also to the notices of violation that you, if you're in the prohibition zone, have. The Water Board has stated that it's their desire to vacate those orders and make it a level playing field in Los Osos, but the staff has stated otherwise. On December 6th, there will be a Water Board meeting in San Luis Obispo to consider vacating those orders, and we hope that you'll be involved. It's critical that the appeal is funded and that the December 6th meeting is well attended. Please make a donation to the appeal effort. Donation points are around the room. And we also have envelopes. You can donate different ways. You can donate directly to Shauna Sullivan, who is our attorney. And you can go online to pzldf.org, and you can make a donation through PayPal. There's information on the tables with the county's website, their hotline number, and forms needed for handling your ballot. It's near the coffee. There's been lots of questions about that. I suggest that you go to the county for those answers. However, if you go on the website, it does explain some of what you need to do if you have lost your ballot, if you've spoiled your ballot, if you want to change your vote, and if you need a new ballot. We do not advocate how to vote, but we believe information is vital. And so there's a lot of information on the table to the right, and the tapes on the 218 ballot, meetings that Pavo attended, and also the meetings that the county did for Citizens for Clean Water are available. Tonight we have Mr. Dana Ripley of Ripley Pacific and his team. Ripley Pacific completed the CSD's project update in 2006. The county adopted strategies that include design build on August 14th, 2007. Design build is a straightforward method to deliver infrastructure projects. It's supported by the governor and is gaining steam in California. While the Ripley team is but one of several firms that are probably qualified to do this, it's a request for proposal process that provides project alternatives and siting water balance and issues that Ripley is very, very familiar with. Ripley is poised to take design build a step further and fully fund the project if necessary. Private financing is not new, and it's been used successfully for years to build toll roads as well as large and difficult projects faster and more efficiently than the traditional path. We've used the traditional path 3 times and failed. Everyone is after a project that is a sustainable, affordable, environmentally sound, socially responsible, forward-thinking, and has an efficient delivery, but most of all, that happens this time. That is what best value really means. Design build offers cost savings, time savings, opportunities for innovation, and reduces duplication and shifts the burden of risk. To hear more, we're going to listen to the team tell us what we need to know, and then we'll take a break and we'll have answers to our questions. So partway through, we'll take a break and we'll pass around cards and you can ask questions, and then we'll entertain those. So without further ado, Mr. Ripley, he's a student of our sewer guru, Dr. Shabanaglis. And I just wanted to give him a plug here. The industry honored him by publishing his plans and projects in the most recent MedCalf and Eddy. This is the industry engineer's Bible. And that's on the table. Oh, you're holding it up. We have another one on the table. This is quite an honor. And anyway, we're just so fortunate to have him here. And so thank you. Give him a warm welcome.
Thank you, Gail. I think this town of Los Osos is fortunate to have a resident by the name of Gail McPherson. And I think we all need a round of applause and the Citizens for Clean Water. I can assure you that this evening would probably not have happened if it were not for Gail. And I think we all need to give Gail a second round of applause. Okay, just a brief introduction. What we're going to focus on tonight is the idea of a theme of best value. And what we're not going to do tonight is do a rehash of our project. I think the project that we've developed, we're very proud of it. You can see by the poster boards that we've got some great graphics, and we can discuss that. And we welcome questions at the second half in the question and answer period. But what we're going to focus here on is the concept of best value. How do we deliver the project that we think is superior to any of the other projects that have been proposed? I'll save the team. My firm is Ripley Pacific. However, I engage what I feel are the absolute world experts in respective fields. And I think the product that we've developed is a result of the fact that we have really gone out of our way to find those individuals and firms that can help us in the way we need. At the far end of the table is Dr. Tom Ruhr, a professor of soil science at Cal Poly. Dr. Bahman Sheikh, and if you look at the name index of this big fat textbook that Gail just referred to, I think he's listed in 24 pages. Mr. Ryan Vance, our land surveyor, representative of Mid-Valley Engineers, is responsible for the costing estimates that we did in our project report, as well as all of the graphics and the production of the update report, and has been very generous to support our team in making tonight's presentation possible. Bill Cagle comes from Orenco Systems. I have personally been following Orenco for about 25 years. They started in a garage like a lot of small companies, and they solved the problem in Douglas County. And I can assure you, or I would recommend that anybody driving north on I-5 through the Roseburg area would take the time to stop and visit the Orenco facility. It's unbelievable. Bill is from Sutherland, which is where Orenco is based. Mike Saunders is also from Orenco, but Mike flew in today from Florida. And Mike has on-the-ground experience with implementing STEP systems, and I'm sure he'll share those experiences with him. Okay. Again, tonight, best value is the theme. And we're going to focus on that. We're going to talk about, you know, how we think this should be implemented. The issue of what to be implemented, for at least for our team, is in the past tense. We've developed a plan. If anybody wants to review the details of the plan, we have numbers of resources that are available. This document is available at the CSD office. All the poster boards are in the CSD office, as well as all these documents are available on the web. The CSD's website. Now, why design build? We think it offers cost savings. We're going to talk about tonight. It offers opportunities for innovation. I think that's a key component, because I think there have been a number of failed attempts at conventional systems for Los Osos, and we want to tell you where we think the innovation fits in. Time savings is huge. We know we have the cease and desist orders. We have dates being thrown around. We think the January 1 of 2011 date is achievable, and we're going to tell you about that. Flexibility. We think the program that we're talking about here can be administered either by the CSD or the county. We are Switzerland. We're not taking a position on the vote tonight. Importantly, we think that the plan that we've presented complies with government mandates, and Dr. Sheik is going to talk about later on this evening about a new water recycling policy. And folks, you know, he's drafting the policy, and it should be approved by the state board December or January later this year. And very important to me, we're attempting here to very specifically address the needs of the community. And I think that you know, I have personally been aware of the sewer situation in Los Osos, I believe starting in about 1988, so that's almost 20 years. And I think that the plan that we have developed is really a result of interactions, myself personally, with the community and understanding the unique situation that you have here. So this is not something that just happened within the last 2 years. Other team members have been involved in this, Dr. Ruhr and Dr. Sheik, and this really is a team effort, but it's not over the last 1 or 2 years. It's really over the last 2 decades. Okay, I held up the project report update. I don't want to belabor that. We were, as a team, selected through a competitive bidding process. That's important. I'm very sensitive to climate change, climate issues. As you recall, when I started talking about climate issues in this very room about a year and a half ago, I was heckled a little bit in the back of the room. And I think with the governor's actions with AB 32, no one's heckling anymore. It's becoming a requirement for any project to have climate impacts included. The energy footprint is a huge component of the climate impacts. For every kilowatt of power that we use, we generate carbon, and we need to minimize the carbon, the electrical consumption in the original design. Very important. And we've talked about the water balance. The website is shown. And interestingly, we also survived the county's fine screen report. So that's a second validation. The final bullet point here, we have locations for additional resources. I would appreciate if you have questions that you would filter those questions send those questions to Gail or the CSD, and that we'll be able to respond to those. And incidentally, in August of 2006, we had 86 community questions, and those were excellent questions. And I would ask that you look at that list of questions in our responses prior to any new questions, so we don't have the redundancy issue. Okay, with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mike.
Well, thank you. For those that might remember, it was probably about a year ago that we were here. Subsequent to the Ripley plan, we came and addressed the CSD and spent a half hour giving a presentation, 3.5 hours answering questions. So we're going to try to spare you the presentation part on our side as well tonight. And to some extent, we're going to pitch and hit a little bit on the design build. Our contractor partner wasn't able to make it tonight, and he was going to take a large portion of this. So bear with us a little bit, but we're going to do the best we can. If you're looking for a definition of design build, you don't have to look any further than the California codes. If you read the definition, means a procurement process in which both the design and construction of a project are procured from a single entity. Understand that a normal process where it's a design bid build, you're actually designing the product first, and then you're going out for bids for a contractor to build the project. So what we're saying here is that one entity is going to take responsibility for all aspects of the project. This is a very good graphic on what that looks like. The design bid build to the right, you can see the owner, just like they've been tracking so far, goes and hires an engineering firm, signs a contract with them. Ultimately, they make their recommendations and move towards designing plans and specifications that a contractor can bid on. So you're looking at two phases. what we're promoting. And this is what we promoted last year. If you recall, we left that meeting saying we really feel to be competitive, an RFP is where we want to be. An RFP goes out there and first hires a team, not just a consultant, the team that you see here, hires a team to come forward with a complete solution for a complete cost. And then once you've selected them, industry, as it has in other industries, it's dominating the building construction industry now. And the same reasons it's dominating that industry can be rolled over to sewer construction without any problem at all. It makes sense. Now, why it hasn't to date, hard to say. But this is a very good graphic. In fact, design build is the majority of construction projects today. So it's important to understand this isn't something that's just come up. This is something it's a trend, and people are seeing value in it. Kind of interesting. We like to add a little bit of fun to this. When you look at a design bid build project, and this isn't made up, you'll see, especially in large scale projects, you've got different people playing different roles as you move through each step of the process. If one of those steps becomes a stop, if somebody messes up, it's pretty easy for everybody else that hasn't been involved to that point just to point fingers and say you blew it. And that happens. Now, we're the one on the left, while it's that's not intended to be us, but it points out how silly it is. Why don't we just ask for a complete solution? What's wrong with that? It makes sense. Bring the numbers to the table. There's no reason why you can't. Why don't you evaluate a project on what the result is and what the total cost is? I mean, the problem with a traditional process is you pick the plan before you know what it's going to cost. So on the left, just another way of looking at how the process goes through. You know, we've heard a lot of debate on whether this is legal. Well, and Bill spent a lot of time researching this meeting.
Yeah, the thing that there's a special provision within the California Government Code under Section 5956, and we know what the county has said specifically. Hey, design build is something that we do want to evaluate, and they are looking at different options that go all the way from design build under 5956 through a couple of different types of bridge design build options. That would be under actually the California Public Contracting Code, all the way to the design bid build method. The method that we're, as Mike said, the method that we're looking at specifically here, and the one that we would propose to be what we believe is the best value, is under 5956, which is design build. That's written specifically in the spirit of public-private partnership, and
it's pretty simple. Once you identify a need and develop the concept, you define that in what's called an RFQ and an RFP. Decide what you're looking for. What's important to you in that project? Obviously, you want a wastewater solution, but you can add elements like affordability. You can add all of the state requirements in there that have to be met. You can define what that team needs to approach. And make your decision on who's going to best match up to your needs. And you can do that when you start looking at a pre-qualification process, you can define experience that you're looking for in a team. Make that a criteria of who can respond to this project. Ask them to show examples of what they do. Ask them to include resumes of their team. This is done in the public arena. Everybody can look at this information. Everybody can see it. In the proposal phase, once you've got a team, the teams that you're willing to listen to, that you think offer the best solutions, then you come back and get them to define those projects for you. And there's different ways you can do that. We'd actually verbally recommended that, you know, rather than spending a lot of money on an upfront engineering cost, make money available, actually compensate some of these teams that are going to do a lot of the engineering work here. And you're going to get great responses. Ask them for 30% designs, but pay them for that as part of that process so that you get the best information that you can to decide what project you want to see. The nice thing is, and this is most important, before you make your decision, you've got the project in your hand, and you're going to ask the team to define the costs. And that doesn't have to include just how much money it's going to cost to build a project. It can include how much money what your alternatives might be for financing. You can ask that team to bring forward innovative financing that can save you some money. You can ask that team for operating costs.
And a guaranteed maximum price.
And a guaranteed maximum price. I mean, it's, say it brings the whole thing to the table. When you look at a traditional project delivery method, fact is, you're going to have your design documents up to 90% before you ever build it. In fact, in many cases, you need these design prints almost to that level just to get financing. So if your project isn't successful, guess what? You're still going to pay that bill. You're not going to have a project. So that's the big, big distinction there. And if you made the wrong decision, you may never know. That's the other reality. In that process, it's you're not going to have all the information. You may never know about what alternatives were out there.
There's also the element of risk there.
Right. And, yeah, I mean, I think we actually have that coming up as a financial partner. Now does that mean that the model finances the whole project? Maybe. But the nice thing about a design build process is that we can fine-tune it to make it the best value. And we're going to keep saying that, the best value. Because it's really important to have some flexibility. There are places where public money probably makes some sense, and we've identified those. And we understand that. It's going to require probably them thinking out of the box a little bit, too, to understand that that's the best place for them to spend their resources as well. So it doesn't rule out grants and bonds. We're all in favor of grants and bonds if it gets your costs lower. Public financing, bottom line is, you have to have your money encumbered before you can go to bid. What that means, encumbered means you have to have the money in the bank. You can't go to bid unless you've got that money identified. So that's why all these processes stack up in front of a typical design bid build approach. You have to have your ability to borrow money in place. You have to have the ability to pay back that money in place. There is no other option. And then we've talked a lot about, you know, SRF funds. Great interest rates, but we've emphasized that you got to look a little deeper and find out if there's really value in that interest rate. Maybe, maybe not. We identified a couple and we raised some flags just in the fine screening report. The electrical connections, right in there it says it's because of SRF funding. Well, the logic in SRF funding is they can only fund facilities that are publicly owned. That's what's driving that decision. So instead of making it a $100 to $500 drop off your electrical panel, all of a sudden it became an $8,000 feed from a common power supply. So our question was, well, was there value in that SRF money at 2.5% or whatever interest rate is? Does that make a lot of sense to finance a difference of $7,000 at 2.5%? Probably not. Again, a design build type approach is going to bring those elements to the surface, because our goal in winning a project would be to show the best value. So when we look at the decision process, and we're looking at now at the design build team's approach, if you're going to win a project, the partners and the team have to play together. Okay, we have to integrate the solution. Everybody with an expertise, everybody you see here today has to bring their expertise. You have to understand it's segmented. What we mean by that is one step follows the next step, and you have different players coming into the game. So if somebody at step one didn't do what somebody at step four thought he should do, it gets hard to back up. They're not necessarily on the same page, and there's a lot of risk again there.
Yeah, another way to look at this decision process is under design build finance. The community is the one who sets what the affordability rate is and what the performance standards are for the contract. In design bid build, it's actually flipped the other way around, where it's the consultant who's saying, well, this is how much it's going to cost you. And that's one of the biggest benefits of design build finance, is that the community is now saying, this is what we want.
So here's a graphic just on if you're trying to put it in your mind, what does this look like? Well, you've got the issue. We know what the problem is here. We know what the solution has to be. Again, all the members of the team, we're all contributing towards that input. When you look in the graphic on the right, the owner knows there's a problem. He mentions this to his engineer. They collaborate and come up with a solution, and then it goes to the contractor. And so all this other value that could be found in a team member may never come to the surface. You just won't see the innovation that you can probably see in a design build finance. Risk assessment. We alluded to this a little bit ago. This is huge. This is huge. If you take the time just to go on there and look at some of the septic abatement programs nationally, you're going to find out that Los Osos is not the only community that's getting beat up. There's projects all over this country that people are struggling with. In my backyard, I almost think it's a parallel universe because I dealt with it in Charlotte County, Florida, but we have three or four examples in our own backyard. Cape Coral, Florida is a program that's been going on for 10 or 15 years. And they've actually gone through, they started with a conventional design bid build, and the prices came in outrageous. And by the way, they ended up in lawsuits with every contractor that worked for them. Every single one sued, not the engineer, they sued the city. The engineer had enough language in their contract that when the contractors came back and started filing claims, the engineer said, well, look at our contract. And they sued the city. Well, the city ended up having to settle. So round two, they went to a builder at risk. Things about the technologies that we're talking about is very low risk construction. So we don't expect that same type of comparison. So in the design build finance application, again, the team takes the risk. Design bid build, city's going to probably take the risk on it. Timing, critical. We've heard a lot of claims saying, well, we've already reached this point, you guys can't catch up. Well, if there's one strength to talk about in a design build type project, it's speed. And the reason it's faster is plain and simple. We're working together, we're working on a common test, we get rid of all of those steps. You move very rapidly from a project award to construction, and we can use innovative technologies that can be built faster and get to the bottom, to the end of the line. This is the design bid build process.
Just hit the next.
A lot of steps. If you compare the two, yeah, we think we can meet the timeline.
And it's just a good example. This is an example of what we feel that the design build finance might be able to add in the form of speed and efficiency.
So where do we save time? Again, we said innovative financing, putting money where there's value in time. Time is worth a lot of money. If we can speed up processes using alternative financing, it's worth every penny. We can coordinate tasks concurrently. Construction can start before design is complete. We can start building in phase one, if that's the area that needs to be done first, while we're designing phases 4, 5, 6, 7. We're not slowing up the contractor, we're just doing both of them concurrently. Technology can be leveraged, so meaning that we can use technologies that can be built faster, we can use technologies to build that infrastructure quicker. And again, like you saw earlier, we're talking one RFP versus an RFP and an RFB. So how do we save money? While there's a lot of incentive for us to save money, that's what you're awarding the contract based on. We're going to save it by earlier project completion. So we're not tying up the resources of the contractor. He's on a set schedule that he can work with. We're going to use technologies that are innovative. So hopefully where we come in. And we can optimize the project. We're all going to share. If we're going to lose the team about cost savings, opportunities for innovation, time savings, flexibility, how it complies with government mandates, addresses the needs of the community, probably obviously affordability, whatever you want to put on here.
Thank you, Mike. That was abbreviated, and we'll again entertain questions and do the best we can with answers in the second part of the program tonight. What I'd like to do is I'd like to have my team members that are here tonight come to the podium for a few minutes. We'll leave this slide up. Ripley Pacific Company is, you're familiar with that one, so I'm going to sit down and hand it to Ryan and give a little of Mid-Valley's perspective.
Thank you, Dana. One thing that is interesting for Mid Valley Engineering, we specialize in master plan communities. Basically, a master plan is a design of an open project, basically, that develops everything from infrastructure to grading or whatnot. You know, Los Osos isn't a whole lot different than that. It's a project that needs a master plan, basically. It needs a master plan for sewer design, basically, and that's what we specialize in. I'm just going to talk real briefly because I know we're anxious to get onto the question and answer period, but I bring an interesting perspective to the project. I've been involved with the Los Osos community and projects for probably about 4 years. I was working with all the contractors to provide engineering and construction staking for all of the original designs, basically. One thing I noticed through all the pre-cons, all these meetings that we had with the communities, it was very clear that this wasn't a simple project, and I think it was very evident by the number of contractors that ended up bidding on this. Everyone knows that lack of competition obviously brings up very expensive costs when it comes down to actually construction of the project. Bonding is a really big issue. The cost of the project was so high that several of the contractors couldn't even afford to bid on certain portions of it, so it was divided up into three projects. And from what I remember, there's only one or two companies that can actually afford to bid on the whole thing all at once. And I think WM Lyles, which is one of our construction partners, was one of those people. So without the lack of competition, since the topic of the evening is value, that's one thing that's definitely going to suffer. You're not going to get competitive.
Recently was published about water reuse, and the fact that Dana Ripley's plan, almost exactly the plan that he asked for here, has been schematized on a page here and with a reference to Dana. And he's been mentioned in several pages in this book. So I think Dana short sells himself sometimes. My role in this project is with water recycling, water reuse. And the end product of treating the wastewater is an effluent that's very highly treated. It's a tertiary treated effluent, highly disinfected, and very useful for many purposes. And it's a waste to dispose of it. We do not believe in disposal at all. We believe in a zero discharge system where all the effluent is put to beneficial reuse, either for agricultural use or for landscape irrigation. There are many other uses too that can be applied, but these are the primary uses that for which we have found actual customers. During the process, we talked with many farmers and we found enough users that actually demand to have the water to take care of every gallon of effluent that's produced. So we're confident that during the process of construction, we can sign up enough customers to take advantage of every drop of water that's brought to bear. And this is consistent with the state's policy on water recycling. The State Water Resources Control Board is developing a water recycling policy, even as we speak, that encourages use of recycled water because it's recognized that the state as a whole is water short, and some areas such as Los Osos are especially so, and therefore this resource is one of the few resources that's actually increasing with increasing population. Everything else is decreasing. The groundwater resources, the surface water resources are being depleted, whereas this resource is increasing, and it's a valuable one. And we're being encouraged at the very highest level of the state to use it. And I hope that the local water board gets that message also once the state board adopts the policy. With that, I think Dr. Ruler.
My fellow citizens of Los Osos, it's a pleasure to be here. Some of you that don't know me, I reside within one block of this civic center. Biosolids utilization, that's sewage sludge, and we need that for this community. Both of those things seem to have sort of slipped by the wayside for most of the county's approach to things. It's been a pleasure to be a member of the Ripley team. One of the things that I find is in my more than 15 years of working with the county is that they tend to look at problems this way, and they only see that and they don't see the rest of it. As a consequence, they're missing most of the difficult problems and are not able to answer and provide solutions for the whole problems we face. That's why I appreciate working with the Ripley team and also with Orenco. Both of them have a very interdisciplinary approach. Dana, I know, has a background in biological sciences in addition to engineering. The same for this gentleman here. And I know that Bauman Sheik has additional background in soil science and environmental engineering, so that what we're saying is that that's not the limitation. Other members of the team bring other things to the forward so that we're seeing the whole picture and being able to solve all the problems, not just that way right there. This is a critical viewpoint, and it is one of the reasons why it's providing the best value for this community. One of the problems we have is if we fail by allowing people to convince us that we should be buying into a process that has too many unsolved results, we will be facing millions to hundreds of millions of dollars of overrides and overcost because of it. That's why it's so important to have a design, build, finance system with a known cost. That makes this proposal the best value possible. Thank you.
Well, I alluded to the parallel universe that I lived in. Charlotte County, Florida is an interesting case study because it probably started its septic abatement program around the same time as Los Osos. 1988 is the year that sticks in my mind there, too. By 1992, they had stopped a $600 million sewer program and were out of pocket over $20 million. And that was something that really caught my attention. Having lived through that, feel good about joining an organization that really, I mean, we've heard people say, well, they're a manufacturer. We actually get a little offended when people call us a manufacturer because you're going to find out that Orenco's not staffed by salespeople. We see ourselves a wastewater solution company that just happened to have to design new elements to create wastewater solutions. So it really came by default. We're engineers first. So I want everybody to understand that. And what attracts us to this type of process, it really allows us to get to the table and show what we can do. And we really welcome that. You know, we are trying the best we can to work within the limits of this existing process, and you know, we're not seeing our input being used. And that's a little tough to deal with. And we can be assured under this type of process that everything that we say will reach to you. So that's my 2 cents. Thank you.
Well, one of our team members that couldn't make it here tonight was W.M. Lyles, and it would be difficult to describe just how valuable he is to the team. W.M. Lyles Company has done over 50 design-build projects in the state of California. A couple of the large projects that they're doing right now are a couple of wastewater reuse systems. One's in Fillmore, and then there's another one right next to it in I forget the sister cities, like Santa Paula or something along those lines. WM Lyles Company was the only contractor that I'm aware of that qualified for all three of the Los Osos projects. They pre-qualified to be a contractor on that. And Will had a family emergency. Our prayers are with him. We hope everything's fine, and that's why he wasn't able to make it here tonight. My thing with Los Osos is I see the people, and you're an amazing community. The perseverance that you've gone through over the last 20 years is just unbelievable, and that's my goal. I'd like to see a solution come to this community where you actually do recognize that you get the best value. And one of the things that we hadn't said before in this presentation is that Under design build, especially with the 5956 project delivery method.
I mentioned to a couple members of our team that are not here,
Ken Schmidt. Dr. Ken Schmidt from Fresno is our hydrogeologist, and I know that we've had a little criticism over our in-lieu recharge and agricultural exchange. I'd just like to tell you very briefly about the largest in-lieu recharge project for the Semi-Tropic Water District in Kern County. Two of our team members were a part of that. Ken Schmidt was a hydrogeologist for that project, and William M. Lyles built, if you can believe this, a 10-foot diameter pressure pipe for 7 miles. And that is the backup water supply for Southern California this year. It was an integral part of the state water project. And I hope in the coming weeks that Will can come and bring some photographs. That was an amazing project. So two of our team members, again, the largest in-lieu recharge project in the world, two of our members were integral to that. Also absent is Mike Kupk of Irrigation and Turfgrass Services. And Mike was a significant part of our team in the update report in that he visited personally all of the farmers, all of the nursery people, and talked about the water recycling. And he conducted the tours along with Bauman to Monterey to visit that. So unfortunately, they can't be with us, but this is the team that's here tonight. And what we'd like to do now is take an intermission, and please write down your questions, and Gail will collect them. 1 minute, please. Sure.
2 minutes. Let's take just a short intermission so that we don't keep you up too late. We'll say 15 minutes, and we're going to be sitting back down. There's refreshments, and there's cards. We can go ahead and hand out cards. And I do want to say that one of the things that the county is looking at in the design build portion is simply for the collection system. And one of the things that we are advocating is that they look at the entire process under 5957, which is looking at the best value coming in and being innovative and really getting us what we've been working so hard for so long. Thank you, and enjoy the refreshments and get your questions in. Thank you. Session started. Several people have talked about whether there are other companies that can do what is being proposed here tonight. And absolutely, there is an RFQ process. That means request for qualifications. And then there's a request for proposal process. And what happens is the funding that is set aside to do the proposal process after the various companies have qualified to do this, then they compete. And so that competition is a really valuable asset to have in the process. So the second piece is then the request for proposal, and that's where they can bring it all the way up to as much as 30%, and then the community or the panel that is going to review them and choose. And we would strongly suggest that that be a that be select that whole process be approved by the community. But that at that point, the proposals are opened, and you look at all the innovation. You look at what's going to get you what you need, and the criteria is set as an end product or an end result. It's not, I want this type of a product, I want an oxidation ditch. It says, I want something that's going to clean the water, you know, and it has to be at this level. And so you really open it up to problem solving rather than just specifying something that somebody else decided was a good idea, and then the companies come in and build it. With the questions, I'm going to turn it back over to the group, but I had a couple of comments. One was, can other companies come in and do this? And absolutely, that's right. What is the county doing? They have a brochure that says Project Selection Strategies. This was the centerfold of the brochure number 5. It has two things in it. One was to design build. It talks about the code that they were referring to, and also possibly special legislation. But unfortunately, it stops at a bridged approach, and that's where the Corolla would do 30% of the design and then put it out to a competitive process. And that would only be for the collection system. And we would lose some, I think we lose huge opportunity there. And so it's important. Bruce Gibson's office hours are 4 o'clock tomorrow at Sea Pines. And I hope all of you are there, because he really, Karen Vendetti, is that, I thought there were more. Perhaps they were here earlier. If you want to see, yes, Rob, okay, Rob Scheib, there he's in the back. Okay, well, we have two anyway. One of the things in the time that I spent in the wastewater field, which was a little over 22 years, and worked on 16 projects, was that claims management was huge, and we never knew what the price was going to be, and we used to, you know, bite our fingernails over it. Well, not literally in the wastewater field, but you definitely did not know what you were going to have to go back to your either city council or board of supervisors with until you got way into the design, way up into the 70-80%, and then there was redesign and value engineering. So it's really important that this is a process that we can go through. So I'm going to turn it over to Dana, who will lead the questions, I guess. And you have any other questions that need to come forward before we start? Okay.
Okay, folks.
Okay.
I think the format we're going to use here is that I'm going to read the cards directly as I have them here in no particular order. I think what I'd recommend, Gail, is that we take these and follow up with some written responses, very much like we did to the 86 questions we had from the update report. Yeah, yeah. We'll do verbals with written follow-up as best we can. Okay, the first one is for Dr. Sheik. Ag Exchange, have the ags well been tested? What will it cost to drill the drinking water wells for Exchange? Any suggestions to recharge the upper aquifer? Can you take that? Or Tom, do you want to take that one?
I don't know what the cost would be of an ag well. I mean, that's... You'd have to get a well driller to give you that cost estimate.
What was the rest of it?
What, Ryan?
Okay.
As much as possible. It looks like the nitrate levels may actually be dropping in the upper aquifer, possibly. So if that's the case, we could also be using it just for irrigation of our lawns and other kinds of things where the nitrate that might be in that water could be used by our grass, and we would help to benefit the environment much better.
Thank you. The mention of tunnel vision brings up the following question. If and when we have our sewer, what then are we to consider? We still need good potable water without sewer intrusion and without salt water intrusion. Where does this dissertation touch upon our whole predicament, the whole picture. You want to take that one on the salt one?
Well, again, one of the things we're concerned about is that I see saltwater intrusion from two parts. One is what has always been talked about is that if we pump too much of our groundwater, then the seawater will come in and contaminate and destroy our good, some of the best water in the entire state. The other thing, though, is if we were to use a gravity sewer and if it was installed so that the water's running downhill, part of it would be installed at a level where there's a possibility that the seawater could actually leak in at the low spots, leak into the lines, and if that's the case, that would take the seawater into the sewage treatment plant, reduce the microbes' ability to digest the sewage, but even worse, it would make all of the reclaimed water totally unusable because it would be full of salt. So there's two aspects of that question that I think needs to be addressed.
Do you
want
to add?
No, that's fine. That's a good answer.
Thank you. If the 218 fails, how would you, Ripley team, be paid since you'd be contracting with a bankrupt CSD? What is your guarantee?
Bill.
You want me to take it? Okay, if the 218 fails and the county, the CSD becomes a contracting entity, then our finance partner...
You know, you're not... I guess the first thing to point out is in an RFP response, you can actually provide money to losing teams that respond because it costs a lot of money to prepare for an RFP, hundreds of thousands of dollars usually to prepare a submittal. So anybody who's going to submit an RFP, if they look at a case where CSD may not provide any money for companies that are responding, probably be good for us because a lot of the work's already done. But for teams that are looking at this as an opportunity, they're going to ask themselves how confident they are in beating this team and investing $200,000. That's a tough question, and it's hard to say whether they would or not. So it probably wouldn't affect us a whole lot. But once the project's awarded, how we get paid is actually somewhat internal. I mean, depending on what type of model it is, it can be paid back through rates. It can be paid back through an assessment if that's the process. It doesn't come from the CSD. Indirectly, it may. But it really has no burden necessarily on their position. To make it more equitable, there are options. They can bring in an operating partner that actually is in an equitable position that can assure the financial stability of the system. So you can get a little bit creative. And that's what an RFP is all about, is to bring creativity to the table.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. If the 218 passes, when should the county be engaging Ripley in the process?
Do you want to take that, Bill? Or do you want me to?
No, go ahead.
I think that our position as a team is that we would be more than happy to respond to a request for proposal either by the CSD or the county. And I think we mean that. The issue for us is we think the RFQ or the request for qualification can be issued immediately by the CSD or the county and not wait a year. That's the concern that we have, is waiting the year. Okay, how do we as individual residents get to employ you? We want you now. We've been criticized that by some folks that think that we're trying to skirt homes in areas of high groundwater, want to get rid of their septics. Could your solution put the solution
put these areas
in group tanks somewhere else? Mike, do you want to take that?
Well, first of all, I guess we have to understand that that we would probably be proposing to replace the existing tanks. Now, one of the interesting things about STEP, though, is you can maintain the same philosophy by what we call is clustering homes together, meaning that we can put in a community tank. For some reason, if the properties were too small, let's say they were 40-foot frontage and it was difficult to access those tanks, you could potentially gravity them into a common tank, three or four homes, 20 homes, whatever made economical sense. So if that's what the question is. Now, the interesting thing with STEP technology is it brings you total flexibility. In fact, you don't even have to have your treatment in one location. While that's what we're looking at there, we can also ultimately add treatment on demand anywhere you want as well. If you have an irrigation need at a school, we can treat there because it's a pressurized system. We just basically mine the water off the system, treat it there, and irrigate the school site. So that's a real important thing to recognize, and these systems are very flexible. You have pressurized pipes, just like a water main. When you tap a water main, it doesn't matter if you tap it at the source or you tap it 5 miles, something's going to come out of that pipe. So I don't know if whoever asked the question, I don't know if that helps or...
No, I think you did.
Thank you, Mike. Can you explain the difference in financing terms? Namely, if the 218 wins and the county takes the project, or the 218 fails and it goes back to a bankrupt CSD in a divided community, and then would you use any GE water processing technologies? And let me say this, that's an excellent, that last one about GE processing technologies. As a sidebar, the membrane bioreactor system that was designed for Los Osos included a xenon technology MBR, which is one of the premier manufacturers, is they want it the best technology for the community, whether GE is the manufacturer or not. Is that correct, Bill?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. The first part of the question, terms of the 218 wins versus the 218 fails.
I can answer that.
Go ahead. Right.
GE Finance has numerous different methods that they could reach back into and finance, private finance a project like this, anywhere from tax-exempt finance to asset-backed finance to even an equity share where GE comes in and would say, well, you know, we're actually going to purchase the equipment, and it would be in that circumstance, it would be called a design, build, own, operate, and finance. And so they have a lot of different ways that they can bring money to the table and, again, create best value for Los Osos. It doesn't matter either way, whether it's the county or the CSD. What we would do in working with them and bringing that to the table is figure out which one works the best for this community. In tax exempt, one of the most recent rate matrices that I saw that could apply to this project would be like in the 5.25% range. So that's pretty competitive. That's pretty competitive money for private finance.
Thank you. Very straightforward question. Keep it simple. How much and who pays? Well, that's what we're here for, folks. That's what it's all about. I can say as a registered California engineer, I have some numbers in here. And they're summarized in the executive summary. We had a few copies. The numbers that we've estimated are on the website. This entire document is on the website. The numbers are there. I'm telling you, there's consternation within the team. Some of my team members think my numbers are too high, and there's some people in the county organization say they're too low. So I'm in the middle.
What's the range? High, low?
I heard today from John Waddell of the county in Morro Bay that he considered the low numbers to be, I think the number was $150 million.
No, for you.
Roughly cost known before you get your contract.
Under design build finance, it would be known before you get that. I would expect that would be part of the RFP process, because that's what you're asking us to do, is what is that known cost going to be?
Does design build allow for the $35 million in grant money?
Answer is yes. And that's part of the flexibility of private finance is that there's no early pre-penalty payments or anything like that. It's totally flexible.
How much is your project? Again, it's on the website. What can we do to promote relations with farmers for ag in lieu and exchange? Where are we, and what's been done already, and what should we do next, and when? Mom.
What's already been done is that myself and Mike Huck, who is another member of our team, went and talked to a fair number of farmers in the proximity of Los Osos, as well as landscape growers and whole nursery people. And we got a range of reaction from, heck no, won't touch that water, to those who were much more informed and knew that water deficiency was a fact of life and that this water is as good for irrigation as any water, and would say yes. And we calculated that there was enough interest, positive interest, that we could utilize every drop of water that came out of this system beneficially. So that's what we did. We also took some of these farmers and landowners to Monterey, where 12,000 acres are currently being grown in various vegetables, celery, broccoli, cauliflower, lettuce, artichokes, with recycled water of the same quality that the Ripley plant would produce. It's been in progress for 10 years. It's been marketed all over the world. And they saw that with their own eyes, and seeing is believing. They talked to the farmers there that are growing these vegetables and asked their tough questions and got their answers. They saw a huge, as it becomes available, it gets used.
I'd just like to add that I always, first off, Dr. Sheik here was the lead investigator that satisfied the State Department of Health Services on the use of recycled water for unrestricted uses. And it's always interesting to me, you know, we all know that the mouth of the Salinas River, that area has a groundwater, saltwater intrusion issue, very, you know, a little different than here, but the concept worse. Much worse. And it's always interesting to me is to see the agricultural conversion from artichokes to strawberries. And the reason being is that those farmlands, those acres at the mouth of the Salinas River that had very high salt, saline groundwater that could only irrigate artichokes because of the salt tolerance of an artichoke, switched to strawberries, which has a higher profit value per acre, simply because they now have recycled water and has a much lower salt. And, you know, I don't know of anybody that's gotten an issue with strawberries, and strawberry is a raw eaten food crop, and I'm telling you, this gentleman right here is responsible for that. Does design build process work? How does design build process work? Number one, with hooking up individual property owners. Number two, is a 218 vote required to do a design-build project? Excellent questions.
I guess for the first question, without showing our hand completely, one of the most significant advantages we have is that our upfront capital costs will be lower for the collection mains. You're talking a 2-inch pressure pipe most typically versus 8-inch gravity sewer and manholes. And of course our biggest cost is the on-site cost, which is a deferred cost. You don't have to expend that until you actually connect a property. Now, one of the interesting things is that cost doesn't have to be up front. What we would actually envision is some type of menu that we can match to your ability to pay. If you want to roll that into the total project and use the funding that's out there for the collection mains and have it done as part of the main project, then you can do that. But alternatively, if you got money in the bank and you want to pay it off right away and get it done, you can do that. If there's funding mechanisms such as where it's coming from and you have to define how you're going to pay it back, you don't have to do that with the tail end stuff. It's just like, They don't really tell you how you're going to finance your plumbing bill, which could be $3,500 to connect to gravity sewer and abandon your septic tank. That's not part of the project. That's not part of it. Ours doesn't have to be either, though, but we're going to address it as part of the bigger program.
Is a 218 vote required to do the design build project?
I don't have a definitive yes or no on that. I can tell you this is what 5956 says. As a precondition to the imposition or increase of a user fee, the governmental agency shall conduct at least one public hearing at which public testimony will be received regarding a proposed user fee revenue or increase in user fee revenues. And I can tell you that, the again, as the design build team and working with the community, we want to make darn sure that you're okay with what it is that we're going to be proposing. So it's a totally open process. And if it's the 218 vote that is that mechanism that makes that happen, then maybe that's the way it needs to go. But I don't have a defined yes or no on that.
And I can assure you that our finance partner would want to make sure the security is there and that the community is committed to the project. So that's a very whether we have a 218 or not, it's almost a moot point from their standpoint. If the 218 does not pass, what are the concrete logistics of, one, getting approval vote by the Los Osos citizen with a bankrupt CSD, two, administration of getting coastal permit and water board approval, and three, dealing with likely litigation. Number one, getting approval for vote by Los Osos with a bankrupt CSD. If we address the financing with a bankrupt CSD, we've addressed that.
I don't know if we did or not.
Go ahead.
The bankruptcy is something that's not an issue, at least on the private finance side, and here's the reason why. under the section 5956, it says it gives the authority for the governmental agency to impose user fees for use of the facility in an amount sufficient to protect the revenue streams necessary for projects or facilities undertaken pursuant to this chapter. The next sentence states, user fee revenues shall be dedicated exclusively to payment of the private entity's direct and indirect capital outlay costs for the project. When GE looks at
that umbrella, or it could.
Could.
Three, dealing with likely litigation. And let me say this. This is an excellent question and one very dear to our heart. There's been enough litigation in this town. Enough is enough. And our contractor partner and our finance partner do not want to be involved in litigation, nor do we.
Yeah, thanks for that second part there.
And therefore, it is imperative that we have a fair and open process, whether it's with county or CSD. And I think the criticisms that are, you know, directed towards me personally, that I'm trying to circumvent a fair and open process, those need to stop. Okay. Would the Ripley team also be interested in design build for decentralized projects such as described by Pio Lombardo? The answer is no. The answer, and a sidebar to that, is we would enjoy the competition that Pio could bring to the table. Do you need a Chumash Indian to monitor the excavation for each step tank?
Well, we're not experts on that, but one thing that should be recognized is that the fine screening shows an on-site installation that's in a location other than the existing tank. And one of the things that one of our comments that we gave back was that that's not where we would put it. We would always put it in the same location as the existing tank unless there was a reason not to. One of the justifications, incidentally, to that was SRF funding. Because we asked, they had these crazy plans where they were taking them from the backyard and pumping to the front yard with a grinder pump, and we kind of said, well, we would just put our installation in the back. Why would we spend another $5,000 on a grinder pump and add another maintenance cost? It didn't make sense. So I gotta say that if we're going in the same excavation, I can't imagine that we're disturbing anything that hasn't been disturbed. So I don't know if
that should be reasonably safe to go there, I would hope.
I want to get Ryan in here on horizontal drill. Ryan, you know, if
project for it, it would be Los Osos.
I'll just make mention the fine screen, if I recall, and the responses that are included in the appendix to the report includes a memo by the Surfrider group. And in there, they did mention that the STEP technology was endorsed by the Chumash Council. I think that's important. You said SRF strings. How much extras does the SRF cost the average project? 2%, 5%, 10%, or more? Mike or Bill? Points on SRF. That's what the question is.
Points on SRF. I don't have a blanket number. I don't know if you do or not, but Mike already brought up, I think, one of the most blatant things that was a potential requirement, and the county was saying that, hey, no, we're gonna fight this, but that was the separate power drop, which actually added, was it 25 to 30 million on top of the cost of the project in order to have separate power drops just for STEP collection. And that separate power drop was a potential requirement of the state in connection with the SRF loan. That's just one of them. I mean, there's plenty more that we could probably...
And I've had several projects that I've done under SRF funding, and One of the things to really recognize when you start saying SRF is time is money. And you can quantify that cost. I mean, for every year you delay a project because you didn't quite get high enough on a priority list, that's worth some money. I had a project, it was a water and sewer project with SRF funding. And if anybody's ever, take the time, go on the website and look at the SRF priority list. Because basically what happens is everybody throws their projects into the pool, And whoever gets charged with evaluating these gives them a score. And then they give you a priority list back. And then 6 months later, they announce how much funding they have. And then they draw a line underneath that level of funding. And as long as everybody takes their money and agrees to take it, that's where the line goes. If you're lucky enough and somebody drops out, then maybe your project will be included. Now try to imagine that when you're sitting there trying to get a project. I had one where I had water and sewer, and guess what? They said, congratulations, you have money for water.
To be completely clear, from your presentation, the Ripley team uses design-build-finance method instead of design-bid-build method. My question is, what does the Ripley team think will be the most difficult in designing and building a wastewater system for Los Osos?
It's easy.
Obtaining an RFP.
I don't see any difficulty. I've been scratching my head for 20 years trying to figure out where the difficulty is, so I haven't found it. You guys found it?
Just getting started.
I mean, it's just this inertia. I mean, from an engineering standpoint, this design you see here, I may be repeating myself. It was the design concept of the environmental consultant in 2001. This is about 80% consistent with that recommendation of the EIR consultant in 2001. This design was obvious to the EIR consultant. It's obvious to this team, and I think it's kind of obvious, I think, a few folks here. In design, build, finance, who owns the wastewater treatment facility and for how long?
If we use tax exempt revenues, or I'm sorry, tax exempt private finance, then the entity, being either the county or the CSD, would actually own the infrastructure, or they would own a portion of it up to a point where then at the very end, say if the term of finance was over 25 years, then the county would pay GE $1, and then they would take over full ownership of that. Infrastructure.
Okay. Do your plans for septics include a SCADA alarm system?
Is that what the way
Absolutely.
You guys
look at it? Yeah. The answer is yes, and Orenco is at the forefront of having a web-based SCADA system that can be actually installed at each step site, so basically at each home, where the plan I think that we had discussed was actually being able to either watch it over the internet almost on a live type basis, where we can see the entire
the repayment stream and the security. I like this question. What is the bottom line price? And I want to say again, we're designers. These guys they're designers, but they manufacture equipment, professor, water reuse guys, surveyors. This is my best guess. This is what's called an engineer's estimate. Again, it's on the website. We all want to go to the next level. We want a hard number. Ripley Pacific or no one at this table can do that. It takes the concerted team effort, and particularly the entity that would be our bonding or that our prime contractor would be William M. Lyles. And William M. Lyles would be the our prime contractor. We would all end up being subcontractors to that organization. And Mr. Lyles has made it very clear to us that he is not going to put the resources forward to develop the hard number that everybody wants and GE wants as well until there's the fair and open RFQ-RFP process. That's the dilemma we're in, because Mr. Lyles has got to, in essence, bond that price. And that's a very... These numbers are nothing compared to that, because I can't bond these numbers, but he can. And then he has to look, he'll be between General Electric and the CSD, and he has the ultimate responsibility, so therefore he is the prime contractor. And again, he pre-qualified for all three contracts, total value of $120
million. I think it ended up being $116.
Oh, well, you know the number better.
Yeah, it was high.
Yeah, for all three. And for a contractor to be able to bond for all three, that means that his bonding capacity, that was over and above his work in process, which is substantial.
Yeah, and something to add to that, it's pretty hard to define a fixed cost at this point. Granted that we haven't, the contractor hasn't given his 2 cents, but we talked about the fact that you may be looking at a menu, too, on how you want this to be financed. We've stated that there may be different types of financing options, and there's still regulatory influence. It makes sense to have flexibility to get the same result at the end. So we can't give a black and white answer, I guess, is the bottom line. There's just so many factors on the table right now that an RFP, when you respond seriously to an RFP, you're going to bring them with you.
Again, to reiterate the importance of the fair and open RFQ-RFP process. That's mandatory for us and our contractor partner and finance partner. Okay, how would the 5956 process work under the county wastewater process? And I'll take that. And I think that it could work very similarly to the CSD process. We're Switzerland here. We can go either way. How would the EIR permit process work under 5956? And I'll take that one. The 5956 legislation has specific language to include planning and permitting, and that can be included in it. And as far as the EIR, I've been asked this question this evening. The environmental impact report, I believe, that was done in 2001, as I've said, is about 80% consistent with what we've done here. So my personal belief is it would be a pretty straightforward supplement to that EIR to get what we call CEQA compliance. CEQA's California Environmental Quality Act. With respect to the water board permit, I look at that existing permit that you have, and I'm saying we're covered. I mean, I mean, we would have to, you know, submit new documents to show change project, but the existing permit could still hold. They might argue, the water board might argue with that. But I'd like that Dr. Sheik to repeat something about a statewide water recycling policy, and that everything that we're doing in this project, we believe, is 100% consistent with the statewide policy. Just comment on that?
That's true.
For quite a number of years, in fact, since 1996, we've had a statement of support at the highest levels of the state, various departments, recognizing the importance of water recycling and reuse of treated wastewater for beneficial use. And this water recycling policy that's being polished now and being formalized caps it and tells everyone in the state, including the regional boards, the importance
to the treatment facility. If you've got gravity, you have two major problems. One is that they're big diameter pipe and you have leaks. It's impossible to do it without leaks. So you're going to have leaking of sewage before it ever gets to the treatment plant. And as I said, there is the possibility of having seawater coming into the sewage line before it gets to the treatment plant, especially since gravity assumes that you're going downhill, so your collection has to be at the lowest point, which could be actually at or below sea level. So there's a couple of things here to be aware of. To me, the STEP system is the most efficient because it's not transporting the raw sewage, but rather the material that has already been pre-digested in the sewage or in the septic tank. So that makes it a lot more efficient as well.
Thank you, Tom. I am all for sustainable, affordable design build. I feel the community is in fear of the water board. What can give the town the security to vote what they truly want and what is best for us in this town? The fear. Do you want to take the fear issue? You know,
fear is irrational, and fear is there when there is not enough information, when there is not enough knowledge about the situation, and I think our effort here is to combat that with information, with truth, with as much as we can give you about our capability to help in the situation. I'm afraid that somebody is in fear. That there's nothing I can do about it because fear is, by definition, irrational.
Tom, do you want to take that?
I might add that I have been teaching a class on world food systems in the political science program for a number of years. Coercion is one of the things that is associated with fear. And what we find is that there's an intimidation factor that sets in if you don't know, and the best way that is being done here from a political perspective is to keep people ignorant. So the best thing we can do is to get everyone apprised of the facts, be an informed citizen, and you will overcome the fear and the coercion by that.
How do you make your money, Bill? And do we retain ownership of the plant? Make them quick.
Well, as far as when can we start, there's a couple things that would drive your starting.
As far as when you would start, there's a couple things really that need to be in place before you can start any project. Obviously, it's financing and it's a design. Now, when we talked about the value of public financing can be in place in as little as 6 months. Private financing can be in place as little as 6 months. So that's an element. When we start talking about where there's value, well, if we want to get lines in the ground, it seems to be a lot of value in something that's available in 6 months. As far as design work, we talked a little bit about risk. One of the great things about STEP systems and the collection mains is it's what I call a no-risk construction, or you can almost construct as you go or design as you go. True story. The designs that we did, that I was involved with, we actually did them on aerial photos. We didn't do nothing. We didn't do any expensive surveying. We actually did them on aerials. And the reason we did that is because we recognized there was no risk. If we came up against things that you normally pick up in a survey, like culverts that you didn't pick up in an aerial, well, the reality is it didn't cost us anything. Small diameter pipe, you just deflected. It didn't cause a cost increase. Now, if you've got a gravity sewer system and you come up against a utility or a drainage structure that you didn't know was there, by the time you've addressed that concern, you've probably spent another $20,000 in a change order. So two very different types of systems. So what that means is you've got very quick design that can be implemented very quick at low risk, and if we can take care of the financing part to get pipes in the ground, I mean, 6 months is probably pretty reasonable for a starting date after a contract's been awarded.
Next question.
How do you make your money? Who are you talking to? To Dan or to us? Aranco is a purveyor. We make step systems that you see over there. So we don't make any money on building collection mains. That's not our core business. So our only source of income in this project would be providing the on-site units. So we do manufacture those. So 1972 was their first residential subdivision. But it's bigger than here. Charlotte County, Florida had 40,000 septic systems, has 200,000 platted lots, has around 26,000 existing gravity sewer customers, currently has over 7,000 step connections, but fronts more than 30,000 properties. Biggest system in the world that I know of.
Step system.
Biggest step system, yeah. Okay. And they operate both. So yeah, it's been done. And that, incidentally, was after they failed a $600 million conventional approach. They committed back to step.
Ripley has studied Los Osos for a long time. Where is his objectivity? He knew his approach before he was hired. How can we trust his objective analysis? Trust me. I really have been thinking about this for about 20 years, and my design 8 or 10 years ago was not this design. I thought cluster was the way to go, and that was before that I really understood and appreciated the value of STEP. And once I went to STEP, I said there's no benefit to decentralized, none.
Let me briefly add that I was a member of the second TAC dealing with wastewater alternatives for Los Osos. The 12 members agreed that we would move ahead with a proposal very similar to what Dana is proposing now, and that was over 10 years ago, and when we took it to the county, they refused to accept it and took the alternative of Metcalf and Eddy's major sewer because they thought that the best way to do it would be to have a mega sewer for Los Osos.
Okay, Los Osos trusts Cleath and Associates. They believe we need a Broderson to obtain a head of pressure against the pressure of seawater intrusion. What about you? In the absence of Ken Schmidt, I'm going to let Tom take that.
Again, we do need to have sufficient water so that we can prevent, as best as possible, seawater intrusion coming into our underground aquifer, because the more we pump out, the more the seawater comes in. We do have to have water to balance it. So we're going to have to find some way to do that. And that's a major hydrologic problem that hasn't been completely solved yet. But we do have some ideas on how to do that better than what we've seen in the past.
The substantial power savings, and I want to work with the individuals that write these books because my whole goal is to set a world record in lowest kilowatt hours per acre foot for full tertiary water. And that's a personal goal of mine. Do you want to add something?
Well, as far as I know, the LEED certification
applies to buildings and not sewer systems. But we could look into that. And there's an application process with points assigned for various aspects. Water recycling has a certain number of points, CO2 reduction, et cetera, and so forth. We could look into that.
Yeah. We're going to set the new benchmark for the textbooks, folks. Just give me a little time. There has been criticism against the step-stake system tank, namely needing too much room on the lot, electricity demand, system failure, lot easements, etc. What's your response, Mike?
All right. Too much room on the lot. Well, once it's installed, you actually don't know it's there. All you're going to see is a 24-inch lid. The size of the tank is only slightly bigger than the existing septic tank, so I'm not sure why there is a whole lot of concern there. I know the most step systems I've ever dealt with, the reality is most homeowners, once it's installed, it's seamless to them. As far as the tank goes. Electricity demand is extremely low. These pumps operate around 30 minutes a day. Typical power consumption is typically in the range of $12 to $15 a year. So, you know, we heard a lot of talk about using solar electricity, and well, a lot of that was based on the capital cost that you saw in the fine screening. Well, if the capital cost isn't there, you're certainly not going to do it for power consumption. It's just not there. Very low power consumption. System failures. You know, it's kind of interesting because when we hear this, it's never really based on any fact. We spend a fair amount of time talking to our operators about what their failure rate is, and you can't really quote it as a number. Unfortunately, every step operator operates their system a little bit different. You can break your maintenance into what we call as reactive maintenance, which RM is usually used to define that, and preventative maintenance, which is PM. And how you balance those two is going to define how many callouts you have. If you have a good PM program, you're going to have less RM division, okay? And you have a lift station in that subdivision. If it's a step system, and I'm just going to take what our average, say, let's say it's call out every 10 years, you're going to see that service person in there 10 times in the year for that 100 homes. That lift station, by comparison, you're going to see that service person there maybe daily, at the very least weekly. They're going to pull the pumps out of that at least probably once or twice a year. They should be cleaning that sewer every 5 years. So I'm not sure why people get caught up in this failure rate. 10 times 15 to 30 minutes a call isn't a lot of time in your neighborhood. Lot easements. This is a good one. People see that as a roadblock. I'll tell you what we did in Charlotte County. We recorded easements on new subdivisions, but when we did septic abatement, we used service tariffs. And there is a lot of publicly and privately owned utility infrastructure on private property. Think about it. Your telephone company has stuff on your lot. The power companies do. How do they get around that? They use service tariffs. So that's the most efficient way to do it. Okay? And we can get in more detail at another time.
Great, Mike. Competency of the team. How many years' experience does a 9-member team bring to the table? 2 PhDs, 3 engineers, 1 environmentalist, regulator. Total years, 150-plus. Well, we'll have to do the math at some point. By completing in 2010, 2 years early, the CSD will save approximately $30 million. Please explain. I have thoughts on that. I think there's going to be a saving. It just builds into the best value and the speed of delivery.
2 years early.
Yeah, time's money.
Pipe's not getting cheaper.
Okay. Is it true the county process will cost $30 million more if they implement the same project? Maybe. What happens when the cost goes up? How much in your project? You know, part of the RFP project, you know, that's going to be a big issue with the contractor partner, Lyles and General Electric, because they're going to have to, you know, look at their crystal ball and look at the cost escalations over the construction period. So that is built in. Once the price has been set, it passes. Why would anyone give us grants after we have indebted ourselves? Has this ever occurred in any community of any size? Where?
Grants?
Yeah, grants come in after the fact.
Well, I got to tell, I'm not a grant specialist. I don't know.
We'll defer that to GE.
Yeah. Did you have something? Okay.
One more.
Yeah.
How many operators for step versus gravity in our low SOSO scenario?
Typically, in a system this size, we would expect, especially initially, probably two people. Maybe ultimately, as we add tank pump outs and a little more maintenance, maybe three eventually. Gravity system, by comparison, you got to be looking at what type of equipment you're using. Anybody that's seen gravity sewer maintenance? Just for safety, you have to have three people typically there. If you're going in a lift station, you need three people there. You've got a tripod set up.
Okay, Mike.
So I think it's comparable.
Thank you.
If you would like more information and email addresses, first of all, the plan that they have been referring to that's online is in both the county documents and also on the CSD's website. If you would like to be on the mailing list for more information, you can send me an email, and I'll have your email address. And that would be mcp@charter.net. If Dr. Ruhr mentioned something about coercion and fear, and it's been a little bit of the topic, I think it's a whole lot of the whole issue behind the vote and how people vote. And I think it's important for you to remember that enforcement, the enforcement hammer is what's driving a lot of that, maybe all of it, but the enforcement hammer is huge. And I just urge you to please go to the Prohibition Zone Legal Defense Fund website. All of the documents and pleadings, if you're interested in legalese, is posted there. And we're pursuing that. And that is actually to stop the enforcement, to bring to the surface the fact that it is coercive, that it does undermine our ability to deliver a project. And if we stand together on that issue, then we will prevail. It's not right to take individuals and put a hammer over their head. The regulations were never intended for that purpose, that amount, without a known project at this point. And a design bill does give you that number up front. So whether the county does it or the CSD does it, and it's financed one way or another up front, that is a loan. You pay. And you need to be aware, informed, to fight that fear, and to know what you're going to pay for and what you're willing to look for in the future. Water recycling comments at the state level are due on October 26th, and there's a few people, I don't know how many, are interested in making comments, but you can read what other people are saying about them. The water recycling criteria will be out, and that will change a little bit of what some of the things that are in the fine screening. And so with that, I'm going to go ahead and close this and just tell you that on Monday at Washington Mutual Bank, we meet, and this next Monday what we'll be talking about is the protest hearing and the process for a protest hearing. The letters that you can send should not be with your ballot, and whether you vote yes or no, if you should send a letter, and we'll just be talking about that in the procedures. And if you'd like to take down the phone number for John Diodati, if you have ballot questions, 788-6633. And I urge you to make sure that you do your ballots correctly, however you decide to vote. And thank you so much for the team from Ripley Pacific. I want to especially thank them. Money was not used for our appeal to buy cookies. You know, Ripley Pacific did that for us. So thank you very much. Good night. Drive safely.